Ladies and gentlemen, we're a day late, but don't hold that against us. Well, you can if you want, I guess, but don't. It's episode 151 of the Broke Some Firth podcast. Me, Ash Frith, based here in Essex, and working his little socks off, but taking a break from all those important jobs he's got. It's Justin Panks.
When they look back, they will say, was he a wise man or was he a foolish man? Song.
You have been told off, mate. You have been handed your arse in a hat. Is that an expression?
Yep. Yeah. I like to throw my own arse into my hat, into the ring. Ring into the hat, I think. Yeah, I've been admonished, haven't I?
Yanis Bremmer has gone for you in a big way.
Yeah, Yanis is all in good whatever. But don't worry about it. I'm here now. I've been not been well again.
He's been poorly.
Poorly.
It's just been, I was saying to Yanis, just listener, I want you to know, we do care.
We haven't
been late because we, no, you don't. But as a collective, we do care. 50% of us or more care.
Ash cares for both of us.
I care enough for both of us. But we've both had things going on. Work-based stuff, illness-based stuff, and life-based stuff. So sometimes we'll be late because we don't pre-record these. We're not just chucking out episodes of the Pranks of Firth show that are recorded months in advance.
This is why we're so topical.
Yeah, we could do it, but I think it'd be weird. But that does sometimes mean that things then get in the way because we have to pay the bills. You've got to pay a mortgage, for God's sake, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say we are topical, so I'd like to say express my sadness at David Bowie passing. Great man. Great artist.
I wondered who you were going to say. I did wonder who you were going to say.
Did you think was I going to say Freddie Starr?
Well, no, because I knew you wouldn't actually be topical, but I couldn't think who you'd go to.
All right. Well, Freddie Starr, and I've thought about this, died. Probably, yeah. In a roundabout sort of way, the reason I do what I do, actually.
Him dying or him, yep. Generally?
Him dying is why I'm masturbating now. No. No, the reason I got into comedy, I think it might be all down to him.
Okay, go on. That's
well,
interesting.
I used to get told off and told to stop showing off and stop acting the goat, as they say up here.
And the greatest of all time.
Yeah, no, like a twat. It's like acting a goat. I think that might be an East Anglian thing. It means like stop being like a silly goose. But
it's very farmyard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all very far. So I was very Animal Farm. I was very goat acting and a silly goose. And I used to get told to stop showing off and stop acting stupid.
And, stop lambing about.
I was thinking, oh, this is horrible life, isn't it? Because I just want to be silly all the time, but I'm not allowed to be. That's shit. And then like later on that evening, I'll make it all on one day to make it a more succinct anecdote.
To make it work.
To make it sound like, you know, like the biopic of my life. I was sitting in my lounge and Freddie Starr came out, indeed acting the goat, but he was on a pedestal and being worshipped by not only a studio audience full of people as he walked on to like Russell Hardy or whatever the fuck it was, my own mum and dad who told me off for acting a goat with fits of laughter at him. And I thought, hang on a minute.
What did you say to them in that exact moment? Do you remember word for word what you said?
I said, Mother, Father, I one day will be on the Russell Hardy show.
Acting the goat.
No, but it was. Just think, oh shit, you can act a goat.
Yeah.
You can act like a twat and get this man's being worshipped for what I keep getting told off for.
He's a millionaire, probably.
Yeah, exactly. And then it only took me like another, 28 years to do something about it. You know me, a bit of a procrastinator.
Yeah, but you get there in the end, didn't you?
Yeah, now and then, sometimes.
You get somewhere towards the thing that you're going to in the end, don't you?
Yeah, I get somewhere towards the things I'm going to in the end. That's what people will say about me when I'm gone.
On your, when I do your eulogy, I will say, Justin's the kind of person that got most of the way towards the things he was heading towards.
I am the sort of person that would run a marathon and I'd turn around the corner onto the final straight and I'd see that rib and I'd stop and go, it's close, more or less. It's enough. What's the point in finishing it? I love that though.
I love it because the bit of me would be burning inside. Like, it bothers me that Peter Beardsley got 99 caps for England. That bothers me. But it also makes me go, good, I don't want it to be perfect.
Yeah, who was it who really hated Gary Lineker? Was it Turnip Head?
Grant Taylor, yeah.
Yeah. How weird that he's just...
Don't speak ill of the dead.
You were sorry?
I said, don't speak ill of the dead.
Who's dead?
But you kind of... Graham Taylor.
Oh, is he? I was going to say, it's weird that he just became known as Turnip Head because...
Oh, yeah. The Sun newspaper.
Well, that was a very early days Photoshop, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Very early, but...
That was like Frankenstein's monster of Photoshop.
They went for him in a big way. It's really straight. It's horrible, isn't it? But now you could see that sort of thing happen. Like the papers have lost their power with that to a certain extent. No, they haven't. That's bollocks. I've just realised Labour lost an election because they had a picture of Ed Miliband eating a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he shouldn't be eating sandwiches.
You could take a picture of anyone eating and make them look like a monster, can't you?
Well, I don't know anything about politics, but I think a lot...
No, but I'm just saying that.
No, I was going to say, a lot of people would say maybe one of our greatest prime ministers certainly would be Winston Churchill, who was always, like, schlubbing about with food round his gob, and he's like a... Imagine, like, he must have done worse than eat a bacon sandwich.
But they just showed the power. Like, it's bizarre that in this day and age, a newspaper can still have the power. But what I was going to say was... They used to build up that someone was a moron, the newspapers. Yeah. You know, it'd be like, oh, this decision, that decision, look at them eating a sandwich. Now you can do it instantly on Twitter.
Yeah, you can.
You can literally, like, let's talk about the Danny Baker thing. Have you
heard about Danny Baker? Yeah, I saw that.
So there seems to be so many people just saying, well, it was racist. He is racist. That is racist. And I know that it's... not popular and people won't like it, but I don't think he's racist. I think he genuinely made a mistake. I went, oh shit, that was right. I see that it could be racist, but I didn't think of it. I didn't do it as a racist thing.
I mean, that's the thing, really... isn't it? I mean, monkey is not a racist word because I could say to my children, oh, you cheeky little monkey.
Yeah.
So it's not always like the N word's always racist if a white person says it or what, you know. But like monkey, it's not. So it is, but no. It isn't. It's context, isn't it? That's weird. Like blowjob. Like they aren't swear words. Blow is a word and job. But well, when you say empty, it's weird, isn't it?
But I just don't. I think it's so obvious that Danny Baker isn't a racist.
Yeah, but it's fun to call people racist. I don't bother with all that. But if I was sort of like, I would have gone for him as well, just because it's like fun, and I would have known what I was doing.
Yeah, but then I don't understand. Like, because if you aren't a racist and you accidentally do something that could be conceived to be racist, should you lose everything? Because that's what's happened to him. He's lost his job. He's lost his income. Like, I don't understand it. Like, you can make a mistake. Surely you're allowed to make a mistake.
Where have you been for the last 15 years? What the fuck are you talking
about?
No,
I know. I just find it bizarre. This is just the latest one to highlight. I know we've sort of spoken about it before, but... Like, I really, really, I don't think he's racist. I don't think he's even like, oh, you know,
thing,
what, well.
The thing what is worrying is like, it's like with Jermaine Greer. Like in the 70s, she was like the most liberal person on the landscape, you know, this forward thinking modern feminist. And now she's nowhere near feminist enough. And Danny Baker was the same. You know, he started off, what was he, Sniffing Glue, the punk fanzine. He was involved with the punk scene early on. So he was like the young upstart, you know, and the sort of like the liberal. And now he's like an old dinosaur. It's just like it's getting, honestly.
But I
the
don't
right
think he's an old dinosaur and he's got these old opinions.
No, but I'm saying the people that are taking him down compared to them, he is. They see him as that.
Isn't it terrifying?
Well,
that...
it is because the right's getting righter and the left are getting lefter. And it's just, it's insane. And it's fucking beautiful at the same time. I'm enjoying watching Rome burn, I have to be honest.
Well, you're lucky because you're going to be dead before it really turns to shit. That's the thing. I watched an interview last night with
No, but it won't. It will. It's like fashion. Like jeans got really flared in the 70s and then they go skinny at the moment. It will change. It doesn't always go in one direction, does it? It fluctuates like a wave.
I saw Donald Trump and the Hungarian. They were just on the TV yesterday and they were talking and I was watching them going, oh no, like this is actually happening. These guys are mental. They were talking about upholding the Christian world and the beliefs of the Christian world. And I thought, oh God, this isn't like some weird thing that isn't really happening. This is actually happening.
Yeah,
these are world leaders who think they're upholding the Christian world, the Christian values.
The thing is, these things are self-fulfilling. Like, you remember when everyone went on about the big, massive, like, recession?
Yeah.
I think that if they hadn't have said it, there was going to be a recession, there wouldn't have been a recession. Because once you say there's trouble around the corner, everyone stops spending money, everyone takes their money out of things, and you know what I mean? And then it actually happens. And it's a bit like when, like you say, this is actually happening, but I think that the threat or the thought of something bad happening, people start behaving in the thing that makes a bad thing happen. I just think fucking, unless it happened yesterday, just fucking forget about it. Don't worry about it. Because it might not happen. Just put your head in the sand. Again, my motto.
I'd love to see your crest. If there's anyone out there that can design a prank.
It's an ostrich.
Crest. Yeah. I'd love that. We've got some really good designers.
It's an ostrich burying its head in a bucket of beer. That's what it is.
We've had some really nice artwork done for us. I need to find out the name of the person that did us the... You liked the little cartoon drawing, didn't you?
Yeah, well, like anime. I look like a manga hero.
Yes,
it was. And I noticed they made me taller than you, which we spoke about, didn't we?
Are you taller than me? No. I don't even know.
No, I think we're identical. But then again, you have got a fucking head from Easter Island. How much of your height is head?
I wonder how much of my mass.
I think it's a third.
How much of my physical mass is just pure head?
Like my shoulders are like 6 inches above yours, but with the same height, and you've got no neck. I don't know how it works.
Right. So the picture is from Tony. What's their Twitter handle? Voratoni, Voratoni, Voratoni did an absolutely excellent Pranks of Firth logo where you have got your hands on my back. It looks like your favourite position to be in with me.
Mm-hmm.
You're very thin in the picture and I'm less thin.
Mm-hmm. I'm less thin than I was. I'm actually getting quite fat, I think.
You've thrown on some logs.
Oh, fleshy. I have got fleshy.
But you had to, didn't you, really?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because you'd lost so much weight.
Oh, yeah, from that. But I mean, before. I think I'm fatter than I was before I got ill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's impressive.
Thank you. What do you mean, impressive? Like, there was nowhere left to go.
You were huge.
Massive, great, fat old thing. I can lick my own nipples. Is that what does that mean?
I wonder if I could. Let me try. No, I can't. I've got a massive tongue and I can't do it.
Yeah, I like to suck in my own tits.
Could you if you tried? Do try. What can you get to?
Oh, no, nowhere near that. I was joking. I could probably get some chest hair in my mouth. I think that, talking of hair, shall we talk about my video or not?
Let's talk about your video. Oh, my God. It was amazing. But you know the worst of it was? You sent me the video and then you just didn't respond to me for 4 hours
Yesterday. Oh, my God. I can't talk about it. I'll have to tell you afterwards.
I was trying to be outraged by your video, but then all of a sudden I couldn't because you weren't responding.
No, yesterday was bad. I'll tell you what. I was in Norwich. I had to kill a load of time. I had to take the company car, not mine, in for a main dealer service.
Yeah, that's your job. Go on.
So I'm in the... I haven't got a job. So I'm in... I'm offended that someone thinks I've got a job. That's how lazy I am. So I was in Cafe Nero. Anyway, before he walks in, I'm on my phone charging it.
You haven't explained what you're talking about.
So I know. I'm going to get to that. Let's get to the service first. Now, I think this is over the top. I don't know if anyone's been knows what I'm talking about. I got a link to a video from the garage of them inspecting my car and talking, like going round
it. Wow, that's the future.
I just thought, this is too much. I don't want a fucking link to a video. And a proper Norfolk accent, this woman going, yeah, she's like, you got about 5 mil on that tyre there. And with that, doing your vehicle health service, just doing a little check. You got 5 mil left on the front rear tyre there.
Front rear.
Front offside tyre.
Yeah, she's all like, so technical.
So technical, going like, hey, the exhaust pipe's all looking good. Thank you very much. Like this, and I was thinking, this is... And then, so then I look up, and a man walks in. And you know how men's trousers often fall down and you can see their buttock crack? Well, this fella was obviously a fan of 90s infant hip-hop band Criss Cross. He used to wear everything backwards. Because his trousers were falling down at the front.
It is amazing.
And revealed
you can't see his face, so I guess we could tweet the picture, couldn't we?
Revealing his entire pubis. So which was not a well-maintained pubis. So I look, he walks into the... I'm thinking, shit, I wish I could have filmed this. So then he went back to like the fridge by the door and walked around the counter again. So I had time. I had like a dry run. We like blocked out the video. Then I got to actually shoot it. And I got, I laughed. I don't know if I've laughed that much. I was on my own. I said to my wife, I said, if you were with me, that would have been probably because we always laugh at stuff, you know, together. I said that
you laugh at like pig-faced boys. Yeah.
I said that might have, we missed out on probably the biggest laugh we would have ever had.
Well, I'll tweet it now. I'll tweet it on the Pranks and Firth Instagram post.
And I just wanted to film. I actually wanted to go, hey, mate, your pubes are hanging out. I should have done that.
What shall I say in the tweet? We could do this live and then the listener can go and see it.
Well, to say this is the video we're talking about. I don't know.
There you go. I'm not going to do the video. I'm just going to do a picture.
Oh, okay. It was fucking hilarious. I was on my own just laughing like a drain for ages. Like this morning I woke up. Obviously can't remember going to bed. And I was just like, did I do a load of crunches last night? Like, my fucking stomach hurts from laughing at this man.
It's not his physical appearance. We're not laughing at that.
Oh, I was. It was everything.
Yeah, you were, but,
it was everything. It was synergy, Ash. It was amazing.
The worst of it is for me, right? I'm looking at it right now. You can see the base camp, can't you?
If I think he was a micro penis man.
I think in real life,
I thought I saw an inverted little thing. I think it went in and in.
At it now, and I don't think he is.
Really?
I think it might be the opposite of that.
I had tears in my eyes. That's the trouble. I was laughing too much.
Because I tell you what the problem is. He's tied his jumper around his waist very tight.
Yeah. And he couldn't feel. And he wasn't. And I think he had jogging bottoms on. Must have had heavy things in his pockets.
Yeah, so he's got jogging bottoms on that have fallen down, but he still thinks the waist of the jogging bottoms is up high.
Yeah.
Because he's got the thing tied around his waist. But I think he might have a ginormous cock
hog.
And balls.
He's got a big old hog on him, you reckon?
I think he might. But at some point his dick fell out yesterday. We all need to know that, don't we?
There's a part of you that thinks, is he doing this on purpose? But then you think, yeah, I think he would have had a trim. I mean, it was a mess. It's like inviting people around to a barbecue and like the weeds and lawn's 3 foot high. You would have a little bit of a spruce up if it's on public display.
if you're inviting the people around, you'd make some effort.
Yeah, speaking of which, I was out in my garden doing a load of... I'm actually doing some DIY stuff.
What are you doing?
I built a built-in unit, but I'm putting 3 hinges in and building a flap so I can use it for storage as well. I'm quite proud of it. I'm quite proud of it if it goes as well as I want it to. So anyway, I was out there and I was looking at my rockery because I'm an idiot. And my golf clubs are out there because I'm playing golf later. And I looked at this stone. It had like an overhang. There's a stone. It had sort of like, it's got like a groove in the face with an oak that juts out. And it looked like a forehead, a brow. And in my golf bag there, which I use for marking up my golf balls, is a Sharpie. So I thought, I'm going to do some... I drew a face on this stone. Yeah. And then my neighbour came out. So I was at the DIY. So I was doing DIY and I just thought, oh, fuck it. I was having a cup of coffee. I thought I'd do. So I got this stone. It's quite a big stone. And I put it on my like workbench. I had my like sort of like, you know, like a Black & Decker workbench type thing. And I'm drawing on this stone and my neighbour's like, you're right, Justin? And I was like, oh, fuck.
Because he's then in your garden as well as the problem. He's with your setup.
He's got his hands on
listener, Justin basically lives in a gated community that has no gates.
It's like a commune. So,
so weird.
It looked like I did set up a little art station to like purposefully draw a face on a fucking stone.
He doesn't know you're doing DIY. He thinks you're colouring in rocks.
He thinks I've lost it. And he's right. But, so I drew a face on this stone. But then I put it on the rockery and I was like, fuck, that looks shit. What did I do that for? I just don't know why I did it.
I bet it doesn't. But it looks great.
All right, I'll take a picture of that. Okay, I've realised some things about myself this week.
Yes, please.
I've got a lot of things that I'm ashamed that make me angry.
Oh, finally.
Is there anything that you shouldn't make you angry but does? And you don't have a guilty pleasure. Have you got a guilty anger?
Oh, you've dropped it on me there a little bit.
I'll give you an example. The one that I just thought, please. I'm an awful person. This makes no sense. I'm disgusting. Now, I know this is bad, and I'm trying to be vulnerable and honest here, and I'm going to reveal a less than... the more less than fragrant elements of my personality.
Okay.
I realised I genuinely got a bit wound up, or I do. I've realised that I get wound up, and a bit... I don't know what the word is. If I see a better car than mine in a disabled spot.
Well, you don't think disabled people should be able to earn money?
I just think they're not disabled. I don't know. It's wrong.
You think they're not disabled?
I've never thought it. I've never been conscious of the thought until this week, and I've got, that's horrible. Why have you? It's like, do you know, sometimes you have like a low-level kind of thought in your head that never quite gets to the surface for you to examine it. It's just like an undercurrent thing you feel.
But you're aware that that is something that's been going on in your head.
Yeah, I just thought, God, what? Oh, that's not good. Because I remember in the days when they all had the same car, that little blue three-wheel one.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Do you know what? I reckon if you had one of them, if I got one of them now, I could I reckon you could park in every... I don't think they'd look for a blue badge. The car is the blue badge. The car is the badge. Well,
but they were for people in wheelchairs, I think, maybe. You know,
well, yeah,
they,
exactly. Now, so if you park... You know, if I park...
Disabled then, now does not mean you can't walk.
So listen
it?
To this. You're a traffic warden. There's one of them little blue cars parked in a disabled bay, but no disabled badge. I mean, you... It's kind of like a grey area, right?
Yeah. Like, what did happen to them? Why did they stop?
I don't know, because they were good cars. Like, there was a guy where I grew up, and he had one of those. And I remember they had like a steering wheel, like an aeroplane, which like a square steering wheel that hasn't got the top bit on it.
Cause so you could get in and out easily if you were in a wheelchair, I imagine.
Yeah. So anyway, that is an awful thing about me that I think that.
I mean, mine is much less. When I was thinking about it, mine... A thing that winds me up that really shouldn't, but does actually genuinely wind me up, is when my girlfriend says, do you remember?
Yeah.
And then says something that I definitely would remember. Oh, do you
now,
remember?
The irony is, if you think about this, Ash, if you was in a relationship or someone in your family when your parents got like Alzheimer's or dementia.
Yeah.
The chances are it's 50-50 that they will actually remember what you're about, but you would never say it. People only say it when they know you remember.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't get it. And it's always things that you would obviously remember.
So, for example, like, you could be married and your wife go, oh, do you remember our wedding day? And you mean, So what she should say is, let's talk about our wedding day.
But then, yeah, I want to bring up our wedding
day. Yeah, can we reminisce about our wedding day? But it's like, do you remember?
Oh, do you remember what the weather was like? Do you remember that holiday we had in Zante?
Yeah. Yeah. There's always like massive life events.
I mentioned this, weird, because I mentioned this last week to someone that it annoys me. And I know it shouldn't, but it does. It really does wind me up.
Yeah, I think my wife's got this habit. I don't know. Our dad's from Manchester. I don't know if it's from him. It's a northern thing. But instead of saying, can you give it to me? She'll say, can you give it me?
Oh, yeah.
And I've corrected her every single fucking time she's dropped out a... What is it? A verb? A fucking vowel? I don't know what the fuck it is. Every time she drops one of these little words out, I go, give it to you. For 23 years, I've corrected her. She still does it.
And she's still with you.
Well, in spirit. No, but it's true. It just winds me up. It winds me up. Like, give it me. Can you give it me?
But she isn't from a place where they'd say that.
No, exactly. If she was, I'd sort of give her a pass. But it's the fact that... I know you get some people. Like, I remember I'll do it myself. Sometimes I say bastard.
Yeah?
Because
I'd probably say bastard more than bastard.
Because bastard just sounds like Downton
Abbey.
It's
too long, isn't it?
Sounds like you're from Downton fucking Abbey, doesn't it?
Oh, you dirty bastard. No, I'll tell that story about once every 3 days. So I do say, oh, you dirty bastard.
Oh, what, the dogging story? Yeah, but she was from, like, Lincolnshire, so that's how she
spoke. Doesn't matter.
Oh, you dirty bastard.
It doesn't matter.
But how can you say, like, oi, what are you looking at, you fucking bastard?
Yeah,
it sounds posh.
Well, there's certain things you can't say. Like, you can't say, like, that film... That's based on a comic book where, yeah, I reckon you've seen the film. Nicolas Cage is in it, and it's a kid that wants to be a superhero, but he obviously, there are no superheroes.
Yeah. Kick Ass.
What's the name of the film?
Kick Ass.
Yeah, but it's not, is it? But
no.
I find it very difficult to say Kick Ass.
Kick Ass. Yeah. But then again, I can say Badass.
Yeah, but you'd say
badass.
It ironically. You badass. Wouldn't say, oh, that's bad.
Badass means like you've got an attitude and you take no shit. Badass means you've got to go to the doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's context, isn't it?
I think, yeah, it's really... I mean, we've completely gone away from the point, I guess, but it is strange. There's loads of things I say that are just nonsense.
If the listeners want to get in on this one, tweet in. Like, because I think it's got... Right, it's not just like things that annoy you. It's things that shouldn't annoy you, like you wish didn't, and you only... things that you don't realise. I was very, very honest. That's probably the worst thing I could have said.
But yeah, but there's lots of things like
that.
I think lots of stuff, and I have to go, oh, why are you thinking that?
I think because of my class and the chip on my shoulder, I like to think the only people that blow me on any sort of... No. Have I told you about Charlotte Ramsay?
No.
I've invented a character called Charlotte Ramsay, and she's in my head only. And
right.
She's sort of like become an effigy of everything I hate about people. And she's started to become sort of real in my head.
Yeah, Charlotte.
Charlotte Ramsay, and I detest her.
What's she look like?
A little bit thick, a bit husky, middle-aged. Woman, single, divorced, no children, about 42.
I like her.
No, you wouldn't, because I tell you what I despise about Charlotte Ramsay is she taps into the lowest common denominator of the zeitgeist. Loves Wimbledon for fucking 3 weeks a year or however long it is.
Yeah.
Watches the Olympics, loves the Olympics, but only when it was in the 2012 one, the most. But will pretend she does. And... I realised that she's sort of been in my head.
Hold on. Is this a roundabout sort of way you tell us you're going to be doing a drag act?
No. I think I'd make a good woman.
Go on.
Well, I reckon I could get 3 fingers up my arse.
You reckon, do you? No, Just off the top of your head. That's your place.
You reckon? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, don't know. Yeah, I reckon, yeah.
I'd have, by my glasses, I'd have my little finger sticking out like I was drinking a cup of tea.
Oh, yeah. You're not a monster.
It'd be the middle 3 fingers, wouldn't it? If you think of your thumb.
I don't know how you'd quite do it, but yeah.
The thing is, if I could get 3 and I could go 4. I mean, that little one, I could just slide that in.
Hold on, like I say though, you're saying you reckon off the top of your head.
But, no, what the fuck was we talking about? No, I'm not going to be a drag act, no.
So Charlotte Ramsey, where did she come from? What do you want to happen with Charlotte?
Like this is the, do you know how long this sort of, she wasn't as fully realised as she has been lately, because I decided to work on her. But she's sort of been, like, again, like one of those sort of like thoughts somewhere in the recesses of my psyche since, do you remember that advert where it was like a fucking annoying cunt with a guitar, and it was like a, you could be doing origami with a piece of beef pastrami while Hive is crawling your heating at home, something like that.
Yeah.
It was like a real quirky, and I imagine they're all at a party, like on Saturday night around a friend's house watching the X Factor or whatever the shit zeitgeist thing she's into is at the moment. And she's drinking white. Oh, I love this song. Oh, this is great. It's so fun. And she's up dancing to it, and everyone's like going, oh, fuck's sake, Charlotte.
She's dancing to advert.
To that advert. I wonder who it is. I'm going to look it up. Oh, I think it's so fun. I think it's great. I love it. Because I think that when that advert was on, I remember that I drew a line in society where I thought, right, this is the most awful thing ever. And there will be people that like it, and they are not me. Like,
does she say simples?
Yeah, she says simples. She says does exactly. She was the person that started saying does exactly what it says on the tin.
Oh, she's still using that.
Yeah, all of it.
Even though it was 25 years ago, she's still saying.
Calm down, dear. She says all those things. She says all those things.
Calm down, dear. Was Michael Winner.
Yeah. And Michael Loser, more like, with a sexist attitude like that. So she's a thing now. She's getting far too real. I've had arguments with her this week.
What do I think about her?
I haven't told about her.
Oh no.
Clandestine, mate.
Well, I'm just hoping she doesn't manifest herself in any kind of physical form.
The thing is, I think there's more Charlotte Ramseys on this earth than there are Jussie Peas. I think.
Where did you come up with the name?
Like, I don't know, like the other day I just thought it just sounds a good name for her, doesn't it? It's perfect.
It does. Is she gonna have a Twitter account?
Oh my God, are you? Yes, of course she is. Now you've said that. I've got to do it, haven't I?
Yeah.
And I should live tweet all every time there's something on. Like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
But then you've got to watch it.
Then she says awkward a lot. Awkward. Taxi orcs, for Ash. Oh, taxi for Charlotte. Awkward, what have I said? Oh.
Like, does she say orcs?
She says orcs. She says hashtag a lot as well before she says things.
Oh, yes.
And .com. She's like, oh, I love this song. Oh, this is really quirky .com. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Hashtag quirks.
Hashtag quirky.com.
Does she drink only Prosecco?
She does now. Never touched gin before, but she'll drink that, and she's gone to Prosecco now. Literally, like, she had pepper on her strawberries 10 years ago when everyone was doing that. Now she doesn't. She's just a fucking nothing. There's nothing about a woman. She's an orchid. What? Not got her own roots. Disgraceful woman.
I feel a bit like this is a wasted opportunity.
What do you mean? I should create her?
Well, in some way, because otherwise you're just going mentally ill.
No, I'm mentally ill, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least with Charlotte Ramsey, there's something in my head that I can attack instead of myself.
Yeah.
She's a scapegoat. She's
maybe
a scapegoat.
This is healthy for you.
Yeah, see, all the demons in me are tormenting Charlotte Ramsey instead of me.
Imagine when I come and visit you in the home and I go, hello, Justin. Oh,
do you remember? Do you remember
Justin
your massive?
Justin used to be here, but I'm Charlotte. Justin, I used to have this room.
You'd be like, do you remember when you had that massive catastrophic breakdown? Like, of course, actually, I remember it.
Justin's referring to himself as Charlotte from now on. Just be aware,
Charlotte Ramsey, you fucking whore. I hate her.
So at this juncture, speaking of people we hate, we now need to speak of people we love, because we've got a new Patreon that I've forgotten to mention.
Oh, I love him the most, or her.
Christopher Wright. Justin?
Yes?
Is a patron, an enabler.
Oh, cool.
We must thank them for being a new patron.
Thank you. From Charlotte, would like to pass on her gratitude.
So Christopher Wright will now get an extra podcast, an extra Well, no, just an extra podcast every month.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Christopher. And also, I'm sorry, Christopher, that we forgot to mention you for the previous 3 weeks, but that's because I mentioned the wrong Christopher last week, I believe.
The wrong Christopher.
Yeah, that's a book. But we need to say big thanks also to Dave Cooper, who I met on Saturday.
Oh, did you?
Dave Cooper.
So he's met a real him. Person? Not
he's
like
a
Charlotte.
Real person.
Yeah.
He has done another gigantic
mate,
donation on Ko-fi.
Thank you, Dave Cooper.
And so he earned himself the latest Pranks and Firth t-shirt.
It's a good one.
And I think probably since we last recorded, the Pranks and Firth t-shirts are now available. £18.50 for Patreon subscribers. £19.50 for your non-Patreon subscribers. You've just got to message us and we'll get them sent directly to you. I think it's the best thing you've ever done.
Oh, thank you. The best thing I've ever done is... what is actually the best thing I've ever done?
I think it's designed these t-shirts, mate.
Oh, well, that's your opinion, Ash. You know other people have different opinions to you, yeah?
People love them. People absolutely love them. People are buying them. They have been... And I think they get sent out within like 5 days. So if you do want one, just message us on social media.
Oh, I've got another thing that annoys me but shouldn't.
Patreon. Go on.
Coat hangers.
Yeah.
I've never ever hung a coat on one. You hang a coat on a hook, they're shirt hangers. Have you ever put a fucking coat on a coat hanger in your life?
No.
There you go. Why? Why are they called coat hangers? That's blown your mind, isn't it?
Yeah. You think like other... You don't think like other people, do you?
No.
That's what it is. That's what makes you unique.
Mental. Oh, you went with unique, did you? There was like a Rolodex. There was like a fruit machine. That you imagine like a sentence is a fruit machine and each wheel has got words on it. You said like the first one dropped in. That's then it was like why you're and the last one was spinning. I was thinking, oh, what's this one going to be?
Yeah.
What's this one going to stop on?
Well, I'll tell you what it wasn't going to be.
What?
Cunt.
Oh, you're not allowed to say that.
I said it. I said it at a gig and it went very, very, very badly for me for a while. I did a gig on Saturday and I pre-warned it. So I think I'm in the right here. So I was doing a gig and it was quite a middle-class gig. It was in Histon in Cambridge. It was
right.
Quite middle-class. But I gave them fair warning. The conversation in the room had led to a point where... They were talking a story that I have from my actual life. It would have fit in what we were talking about. I was the host of the show. I was MC. So I was like, right, I'm going to tell you a story now. But I just should point out it ends with the strongest of words. And I'm going to say it, but I think we've all earned that. We all know each other. We all know where we stand.
So hang on. I haven't heard the story yet in detail, but can I just say I've got some questions already?
Go for it, yes, please.
You've revealed. Did they not laugh because you showed them the woman in the box, like the magic trick? That you showed them.
No,
you revealed the punchline. Okay,
no, they did not laugh because they were so offended by me saying the swear word. It wasn't even as funny. It's not a funny story. It's not a joke. It's a real
true
story.
Maybe it was just like, why did he say that? Why did he tell us that whole story? Was it not that? It was the actual word.
No, because it was in context. It made sense to say the story.
Fair enough. Weren't there.
And I tried to make it amusing as such.
I can't be everywhere, Ash. I wasn't there.
So what happened was, in the story, me and my friends went to a pub and they would not serve us. And it was in a town, it was in Léoncy. And we'd been talking about Léoncy. A woman in the audience had been quite damning about Léoncy because her arsehole ex lives there. So her current partner said.
Well, don't invite your ex-wife to gigs anymore then. Oh!
Oh, I did. That's what I did. That got a laugh.
Oh.
And then, so I told this story. We went to a pub. We weren't getting served. And we just decided to leave. And then someone shouted out, that's right. Fuck off, you hipster cunts. So I told that story, and the room, they were so offended by me saying it. And then, so I had to quickly tell like a gag, like do a gag.
Oh, I just don't think, if you say that, they got offended. Do you know what? They don't deserve to laugh. I'd have thought, fuck you. I'm going to, fuck you. You don't deserve comedy. You prudes. So
then, two acts later, an act was on. And he told a joke that landed badly as well. Fell on stony ground, as you might say.
You might.
And he then said, oh, God, I've really driven this gig into the ground, haven't I? And they thought that was the funniest thing they'd ever heard.
Mm.
So then I went back on stage and basically explained to them that that isn't fair. You can't take offence at things that people are saying on stage. When we would like, some people are doing bits of material, certainly. Some people are doing conversation. You're just throwing the stuff out there and hoping that some of it lands. If you're not doing your routine, then like, if you're the host, it is going to be hit and miss. You know, I'm having a conversation. I'm not doing material. You can't get offended by something I say, but then really, really laugh at
they're too self-aware. The audience has become too much of a part of the show.
Yeah, at that point,
the audience feel like they are. Oh, we're a thing. This is a hard gig because we're a tough audience. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. There's a collective consciousness.
And they laugh at that happening.
Yeah.
And I told them that they shouldn't do that, and then they found that really, really funny.
I just think that as I've gone on longer, I just think people just like you to talk. I don't think they like pre-prepared stuff as much. It's always never as funny as the off-the-cuff
stuff. Well, it's got to be very well hidden if it is.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Yes, like, if you're doing, personally, that is, I think. I'm not saying that for everyone. But I think if they can see the workings of a routine, it goes down much, much worse than them thinking it's conversational.
I tell you what, things that make me angry that shouldn't, maybe they should. The stand-up trick, and it is a trick, where they'll reel off a long pre-prepared speech at rapid fire pace.
Yeah, oh, I don't like that.
Gets a round of applause, but people don't think it's funny.
All you've done is remember something.
Yeah, you just remembered something quite long, said it quite quickly without making any mistakes, and you get a round of applause. I've never seen anyone laugh at one of those things.
Have you ever seen someone do one of those things and make a mistake and stumble over their words and then have to go back?
No, because if I had, that'd probably be one of my favourite moments in life.
Well, I saw it fairly recently, and I thought to myself, look, if you can't do that, if you can't do that...
That's like if you can't play the guitar.
Give an example. You're quite good at this sort of thing, so the listener might not quite understand what we're talking about. So give a rant, give an example. You're good at this. I know that you can do it. And then the listener will know what we're going on about.
So I went to Norwich the other day, and someone said, do you want to get the bus? And I said, no, I'm not going to get the bus, because I've got to get down there at 9:32 and stand at the bus stop where there's two people beside me, one with a dog and one's got a fucking pair of gym jams hanging out of his pocket, and then that sort of thing. I can't do it.
And then I have to get the 46, the 21, the 82, and then...
And then before you know it, you sat next to some lunatic, and the lunatic stands up, and the lunatic moves over there, and another lunatic gets on two stops later, and then you go upstairs to the top deck, and then you go upstairs and you sit in some chewing gum, and you sit in the chewing gum, you get your trousers on.
And then someone's got the bloody Jim Jams in their pocket.
And then, and then everyone goes, but it's not funny. Yeah, well, and if done, you do that and you're listening, I'm not apologising. You're shit. Stop doing comedy. You what, sorry?
Well done. You've remembered that monologue that you wrote. Yeah. But yes, so I saw someone do it. And then, but they went, da 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 da. No. Da 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 da. They said the wrong thing.
I did a gig with an act, a very well-established act, a very well-known act on the circuit and also to the wider public. Charlotte Ramsay's even seen him because he did Britain's Got Talent. Now, I did a gig where I emceed, and I emceed at the top, and I like to try and do it properly. Now, you're not always going to hit home runs, but I do genuinely improvise. I don't pretend to improvise. I don't have pre-prepared little things. I actually go.
Right, you're saying you did it properly, right?
I try to do it properly.
Yeah, but no. You're saying, is that properly? Because I try to do it properly, but I think, are we being out of order by saying do it properly?
No, I don't think. I think if you can't do crowd work, you shouldn't ever take a gig as an MC.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that.
I'm not saying you have to do 100% crowd work, but I try to.
Yeah, so do I, yeah.
And if I'm not getting laughs, I don't care. I'm not going to do a joke. Fuck them. I'm the host. I don't. I feel...
Oh, I will sometimes go into a bit material. Yeah, well, I'm better than you. A good gig for me is when I've done no material.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I first started, I probably said this one the other week, there was a thing going around where Bill Hicks wrote like the 10 commandments of stand-up comedy. And one of them was, your act is what you fall back on when you can't think of anything else to say. Now, as a new comedian, I thought, what the fuck? That's bullshit. I don't agree with that. But now I do. Now I've been going 10 years, I go, yeah, that is true. I'm not saying, and it's okay to fall back on it. It's not a defeat. But if there is something else in the room or something to say, it's always better. Always better.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So anyway, so this act, back to this act. I did my opening bit and I came off and he goes, that was good. Nice, relaxed crowd work. I went, oh, thanks. And he went, yeah, when I MC, I don't do any crowd work. I don't actually MC. I just sort of like do material. Like, as if it was good. I went, all right. And then his whole act was like those long, well-rehearsed rant things that were spoken. You know, like when you listen to a podcast, you can just sort of like put it on like 1.5 speed.
Yeah.
His act was just him saying things on 1.5 speed.
But like you say, there's these tricks and tropes that get the audience to applaud and clap, and they're really easily done. But then am I wrong? Like, you see a musical act who'll tell people to stand on their feet and then say their name, do the chunky chunk on the guitar. And so they get the applause because they've finished a song and they walk off to a standing ovation.
Well, the trouble with comedy, the phrase comedy is just too broad. It's a broad church. Like, now listen, you have a musician. Now, it is someone that is a professional but does, like, covers at weddings and bar mitzvahs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a musician. But you wouldn't say that's the same as, well, I already mentioned him, David Bowie or someone like that, right? Would you?
No,
they're not doing the same thing. You're in the same, like, so that's the thing. So, like, Richard Pryor is in the same category as Joe Pasquale. I mean, they're fucking nothing like each other. One's trying to talk about social issues and, you know, that's comedy. It's too broad a term.
So what are you, you're talking about compartmentalising comedy even more?
Well, no, the only genre in comedy, I guess you would say, like, oh, he's a one-liner guy, which means he says nothing of significance. I mean, that does kind of mean that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but then I like Tim Vine.
I'm not saying it's bad.
No. What I was going to say, I like the thing where Tim Vine was saying, someone said, oh, you've got to give a message. And Tim Vine said, no, you just got to be funny.
Exactly.
That's the only thing that matters.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. But then you've got comedians that the message is more important than the jokes. I mean, I don't like that either. I'm not saying one's more worthy than the other. I just think it's, you know.
Because you were thinking about having a show that had no meaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
About no meaning.
Yeah. Asked about how I think, like, okay, so you've got, like, how, like, you know, you've got Frankie Boyle, the dark, or Sadowitz, dark as dark can be. Then you've got, like, Nanette, which is, like, the most woke, liberal mess. I mean, it's just all, there should be some, like, I mean, if you like I said,
it's strange because you go, oh, I really love stand-up comedy.
I love comedy.
I love it when they're really good. And then you go and watch Frankie Boyle and you go, oh, that is not comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it works the other way around. I love Frankie Boyle. I love being have my boundaries pushed.
Yeah.
I love Three Fingers In. And then you go and watch someone skirt around every issue. Even if they're brilliant at it, you'd go, that isn't comedy. I don't find that funny.
But if I said to you I like music, the next question was, what sort of music do you like, innit?
No, I like all music.
There are people that you... Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you go to a gig, like, if you're a real, like, into death metal, you wouldn't go to a Mumford & Sons gig because you know you'd hate it. But in comedy, you find yourself... It's just...
On the same bill. Well, that's the thing. There's the responsibility of people who are booking gigs, because sometimes you do a gig and you go, why has he got that person on and that person? Some people booking gigs don't think about the lineups.
No, they just go,
I want an opener, two middle spots and a closer. And you've got people who are in those brackets... And they just book them without any due care and attention. But you could have a really offensive opener and then the wokest of woke closers.
Well, the thing is, when you have that, because I've put lineups together, you have to also think that I knew if you, exactly what you just described, you know the closer would go on and have a dig about the opener.
Yeah,
and then once you stop, once the crowd sense like disharmony in the fraternity, I think it's just hashtag orcs. Charlotte.
Does she snort as well, Charlotte?
Yeah, she's just a disgusting little pig.
All right, mate.
Awful woman. I'm still seething about Charlotte Rose.
She says seething. That's one of her words.
No, not even. Don't say that. You start taking my vocab away. Vocab. She says vocab.
She definitely says vocab.
Sharp would definitely say vocab.
Oh, God. She is a dick.
Did you hate her?
Does she drink Frappuccino?
She's sort of like going and going, oh, yo, Ash, I'm a nightmare. You don't even Starbucks with me. I order a tall, skinny almond milk Frappuccino latte with, you know, she's awkward. She's an awkward fucker.
Bubble tea. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. She's probably vegan.
Yeah.
That's how much of a zeitgeist-chasing little mooch she is. Mooch.
I said breast is best on stage the other day. I don't know why I did. I was talking about breastfeeding, and then I said, I went like everyone, you could choose what you do. Obviously, up to you. You don't have to do it. You can do the bottle. And then two women had just had babies. Like, you breastfeed? She was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, do you? And she said, no. And I went, no. You give them cow's milk. I don't know what happened. I went off the rails. And I was like, oh, yeah, 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 it's much better, isn't
you
it?
You come just across squirt a little bit holier than thou, Ash. That's not like you. That's not like you.
I lost myself for a moment. I was like, oh, yeah, just squirt milk from a cow's udder. That's much better.
Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's why you should lose yourself.
No, I'd gone. I mean, what? I could feel myself slipping down a slope. And then I said breast is best. No.
Yeah, once you resort to a slogan, you've lost, I think.
Well, I'd lost in as much as I was saying things. I was like, stop talking about breastfeeding because anyone can make their own decision. It's none of your business. But inside,
and you're a man. That's the worst thing.
I was just going down this thing of basically saying that you should breastfeed your children, even though I don't necessarily believe that. I do believe it, but I don't care about anyone
else. Some people can't. Maybe she tried and it didn't work and she's really upset about it.
I know, look. And I've been eating myself up about it since. I didn't mean it to be a joke. I was just talking. I was trying to dig myself out of a hole. I said cunt earlier in the game.
That's the real context. She said, you breastfeeding? No, you cunt.
I don't know. And also, the same on the same gig on that Saturday one where I did say cunt, I also I went for Cy Deaves, who was one of the middle acts. He did the drumming on the theme tune. You what?
He drums in our theme tune.
He drums in the theme tune. He's got an excellent podcast you should listen to as well if that's your kind of thing. He did our drums for free, so I'm happy.
If that's your kind of thing. Oh my God! You're a monster. What's happened to you? He's got an excellent podcast, if you like that sort of shit. What did you say that for?
I'm having a real problem at the moment. I'm having a real genuine problem, mate.
How are you doing a 1990 Ash Frith mask slipping? Revealing the demon within.
It's a podcast about tea. I'm going to do it soon.
If you like that sort of thing.
If you like podcasts.
About tea.
But he did the drums on the Pranks and Firth theme tune for free. He gave his time for free. So I'm prepared to give his podcast a plug for free. Listen to his podcast.
You've done
about
a good job of it, mate. Don't ever.
About
don't
tea. Ever. Cy Deaves. It's called Tea with Cy Deaves.
It should be called Tea Deaves.
I don't know what it's called. But look up Cy Deaves on Twitter. And you'll find it. But I travelled with Cy, and I like Cy. We get on. But there was another act from Essex, and I went into this whole thing about how there were two acts from near where I lived, and I liked one of them and didn't like the other. And then...
On stage?
On stage.
Right.
I don't know what I was doing. And then I said, I went, so you got two acts in this section, both from the area. And I'd already said, I like one, I like the other. I said, we've got an act now. And then we got one of my favourite acts from the area coming up afterwards. So I really made it out that I didn't like Cy. And that he was shit as well. I kind of built that up as a thing. But
good hosting skills.
No, but I think maybe I'm chasing the day that I got you booed on stage. I think that might be what I was doing. I wasn't going to get him booed on, but I think I might have been chasing that high of that kind of weird thing. Because he's a mate, and I was trying to be funny to him, not the audience.
Yeah,
I was aware that I was just saying I didn't like him. The audience don't know whether I know him or not.
I think that when I got a corner with my stage craft, persona, voice, was when I stopped trying to be. I'm not likable, so I'm not going to try and be likable. And I think it shows balls to go, I don't like this Nick bloke. It's like, I don't know. Even though you're joking.
Yeah, but I do like him. I don't know.
It's like, I mean, it's all right if you like that sort of thing. But like, no, but I just think that once I go, oh, this bloke's sort of like, I just think there's a genuine, I just don't care what people think anymore.
No.
And I think it gives you a lot of power. It empowers you.
Oh, it opens up a world to you if you don't care. As long as you're still getting booked as a stand-up, God, it's...
No, but I'm saying they like you more when you're not trying to get them to like you.
Yeah. Well, it's very refreshing in this day and age. Yeah. Charlotte Ramsay...
Oh, she'd hate me. She'd hate me as much as I hate her.
Yeah.
It's a good job she's not real.
Although, when you become the zeitgeist, she's all over you.
Well, I think that's why
I just like the way that he just tells it like it is, actually.
Oh, God, I what's up? Ash, what's up? if she was alive, God, she is, though. There's millions of them in there.
Well, that's the point, I reckon, mate.
That's why I'm so depressed, I think, because there's so many Charlotte Ramsays out there. And they're all happier than me.
Well, you're not aiming to be like Justin, but if people do like you and they want to support what you do, this podcast, what can they do?
They can go to ko-fi-fo-fum. They can go to ko-fi-fo-fum and donate in increments of 5 beans. No, they can go to ko-fi.com and donate in increments of $3, because I'm cool and rad. Is it $3?
Yeah.
$3. Or they can go to, Ash?
They can go to patreon.com/pranksandfirth and they can donate $1, $5, or $10 per month, dollars. And you get all sorts of stuff from extra podcasts to video content to even T-shirts now. The $10 a month patrons have all received their T-shirts and they love them very much. If you have received them, send us a picture.
So, Ash, I want you to do something for me before we go, Ash.
Yeah.
I want you to get up on your feet, everybody. Everybody up on their feet. That's it. Let me see your hands in the air. Let me see your hands in the air. Good night!
Cunt.
Bye.